Amen. It is good to be here tonight. We are the Hawkins family. We're missionaries serving with the Rock of Ages. My name is Thomas. This is my wife, Stephanie. And this is Vivian. And Isalina is in the nursery tonight. And we're thankful for the Lord and what He's done in our lives and what He's called us to do. But hopefully this song will bless your heart tonight.
When fires of love for Jesus die and coldness settles in, when liberty in Christ is lost through bondage to our sin, restore us, Lord, with life again. Renew our minds, we pray. Impart to us abundant life. Revive us, Lord, today. Restore with life again. Apply the blood afresh to us as we confess our sin. Oh, grant to us a conscience clear, a heart made clean within. Restore us, Lord, with life again. Renew our minds, we pray. Impart to us abundant life. Revive us, Lord, today. Restore with life again. Bless us, Lord, with life again. Come, Spirit from above, please melt and move within our souls and shed abroad your love. Revive the dying embers, Lord. Ignite us into flame. Rekindle love for Jesus Christ. Oh, magnify your name. Restore us, Lord, with life again. Renew our minds, we pray. Impart to us abundant life. Revive us, Lord, today. Restore with life again.
I appreciate my family. I say this everywhere I go. A ministry is family business. I could not do what I do without my family, without my wife, without my children, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in our lives. If you will tonight, take your Bibles and find your place in Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to be in the Scriptures this evening. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself and what God's called me and my family to do. I was saved at the age of 16. Like a lot of folks, I thought I was going to find a back door into heaven. But one Wednesday night, I found out there was no back door. And God convicted me, and I got saved there at home at the age of 16 years old. I met my wife not long after that. We were married when I was 22 years old. And about a year after we were married, God began to deal with me about the call to preach. And I run from that thing as hard as I could. I said, I'll be a deacon, I'll be an usher, I'll be a Sunday school teacher, I'll be anything but a preacher. And one day as I was at work, I was doing some electrical work. I was standing on top of an 18-foot ladder. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, son, I'm going to kick this ladder out from underneath you if you don't surrender to preach. And so I surrendered the call to preach, standing on top of an 18-foot ladder. And God's used me in a lot of different avenues. I've served as an interim pastor three different occasions and used me in that capacity. But about 6 years ago, a man by the name of Steve Gregory, he's a missionary with the Rock of Ages. He came by our way, and he invited me and my wife to come and be part of a blitz that they do in the state of South Carolina. And what that consists of, it consists of going inside prisons there around the area of Columbia, anywhere from 9 to 11 different facilities, and going in, visiting with the inmates and preaching in those events. And my wife, she went and worked in the ladies' facilities. And for about 5 years, every year we'd leave that event looking at each other saying, is this what God has called us to do? And I'll be honest with you, if you hadn't noticed, I'm a little bit hard-headed. And I had my own plans, my own wills. I wanted to be a pastor. I thought when God called a man to preach, He called him to be a pastor. I didn't think nothing about being a missionary or anything like that. But God began to deal with my heart. And finally, one day I was reading the Bible. I was reading over in the book of Mark. And the Lord was coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane. And He looked at His disciples as they were sleeping. And He said these three words. He said, it is enough. And the Lord used those three words to speak to my heart and said, Thomas, it's enough. You've been trying to do what you want to do your whole life. It's time for you to do what I want you to do. And what God wanted me to do was be a missionary with the Rock of Ages Ministries. And so we surrendered to do that a little over a year now. We've been on deputation, and the Lord's allowed me to not only be on deputation, but work in the prisons. I've been working in at least two revival meetings since the month of May in prisons, and I'm excited about that. I just got out of prison on Tuesday, and I go back to prison on Tuesday this next week. And so pray for us in those meetings, and we're excited about that. But you might ask the question, why in the world is there a need to go to prison? Well, unfortunately, the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world. There are 2.7 million men and women behind bars, and that number is growing. I'll tell you this tonight, there are young people behind bars between the ages of 11 and 18. You say, are you serious? Yeah, I watched an 11-year-old kid walk out behind a jail cell to come to a service one day. And those young men, those young women, those inmates need to hear the gospel. I think about that's how that's somebody's son, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's dad, that's somebody's mother. And unless somebody takes them the gospel, they're going to die and go to hell. And much like somebody going to a foreign field, I'm going to a foreign country. You say, what are you talking about? When that door closes behind you, you're in a foreign area. The culture's different. The mindset's different. The language, everything in prison is different from what it is on the outside. And the Lord allows us to go in there. He allows us to visit with the men. He allows us to soul win with the men. He allows us to invite them to come to a revival service. And then the Lord gives us liberty to preach in those revival services. And I'll tell you this tonight, there's a lot of liberty to preach in prison. You may not think there is, but there is. Last Tuesday night, we were in a facility down in Charleston, and some of y'all may know Frank Patton. He's one of y'all missionaries. I was with him, and Brother Frank got to preaching, and the Lord moved in, and we had a wonderful time in prison. Men were worshiping the Lord, men were weeping, men were in the altar, and God really moved, and I'm so thankful for services like that. And I'll say this quickly tonight, do pray for us as we're on deputation. We're trying to get everything raised and put together. The more I get a deputation done, the more I get to go to prison, and I'm excited about that. And I think about tonight, those men have been sent to prison for a reformation, but that's not what they need. They need a transformation. And that transformation only comes through the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So do pray for us as we serve the Lord and as we labor for Him. Tonight our Bible's here in Romans chapter number 12, I want to read the first two verses of this chapter. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, I love you this evening. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for their dear pastor. I thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to get a hold of him, allowed us to talk on the phone. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that he allowed us to come by this way tonight, Father. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the service this evening, Heavenly Father. Lord, I do pray now that you'd please empty me of myself, fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive me of any sin, anything that would hinder me being used tonight. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just help us this evening. Lord, our minds are wandering, our minds are on things, Lord, and I pray tonight that you just help us to focus on the Scriptures this evening. Lord, I pray for my audience tonight. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. May you bless during this time, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we know tonight, the Apostle Paul is the writer of the book of Romans. He is writing to the body of believers that lived in the city of Rome. You could say tonight that he is writing to the First Baptist Church of Rome. The First Baptist Church of Rome. In fact, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is addressing the early believers, the early Roman church. Paul was writing these believers in order to ground them in the faith and to teach them some great doctrinal truths. I don't know about you tonight, but ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need in the day and age in which we live in is we need to be grounded in the doctrinal truths of the Word of God. There are so many false doctrines out there today. There are so many false teachings today. And I think about as we go in prison, oftentimes we have to untangle the webs of all the false doctrines to begin to deal with these men. And listen, we live in a world today where there are false doctrines everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's some kind of new doctrines. And we as Bible-believing Christians, we as born-again believers, we need to be grounded in the truths and the doctrines of the Word of God. The book of Romans contains four great doctrines. It contains, as we know, the doctrine of salvation. That's found in Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter number 5. It also contains the doctrine of sanctification, Romans chapters number 6 through chapters number 8. It also contains the doctrine of the sovereignty of Israel, Romans 9 through 11. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, God is not done with Israel. They are still His people, and that's still His property over there. And one day they will yet again be restored to the head of the nations, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. That is going to happen no matter what man says, no matter what our government says, no matter what other governments say. Israel will one day yet again be the head of the nations. And then also tonight in the book of Romans, you find the doctrine of service. Service, the Christian life and Christian service. The book of Romans is also a book that is full of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. That has not changed for 2,000 years, the fact that Jesus still saves. I think about tonight, many a man, many a woman, many a child has been led down the Romans road of salvation. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm thankful tonight the gospel is a whosoever will. Whoever has a mind to be able to understand the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ will save that soul. Tonight we come to our text in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, and we see tonight, as we look at this, this is talking about the Christian life. Christian service. This is the most practical part of the book of Romans. We can apply this chapter to everyday Christian life. From the youngest one in here tonight to the oldest one in here tonight, there are things that we can find within these pages, within these chapters, that we can apply to our Christian life. Understand this not tonight. The Christian life is a full-time life. It is a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 365-day a year job. When we leave here tonight, we don't leave being Christians. We go being Christians. When we come back together, we'll still be Christians. When we get to our job tomorrow, we go to the schools tomorrow, or we go wherever we may go tomorrow, we ought to go with the attitude that we are still born-again believers. We ought not put on and take off the Christian life. We should wear it all the time. I say that tonight. Notice what Paul says here. Paul says here that I beseech you. What Paul is doing is he's begging these believers. He's imploring these believers. He's wanting these believers to understand some things. In other words, he's doing this with some urgency. Paul was begging on his hands and on his knees. What was he begging them for? Well, first of all, he was begging for them. Begging them. Notice what he was begging them for. First of all, he was begging them for them to present their bodies. To present their bodies. The word present means that which is presented or given, a gift, a donation, something given or offered to another. He wanted them to yield their whole person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, oftentimes in our lives, what we say is, God, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have that part. We say, Lord, you can have this area over here, but you can't have that area. That's not what God wants. God wants us to yield our entire person to Him. I think about tonight, there are many of us in here that are parents, and we need to realize that God wants our children. And that's not always easy to swallow. You say, why is that? Because God might call your child to be a missionary to the Amazon somewhere. God might call your child to go across this nation and start a Baptist church where there is no Baptist church. But God wants our children. Listen to me tonight. God wants my, as a husband, God wants my wife's life. As a father, He wants my children's life. And one day, hopefully, as a grandfather, He'll want my grandchildren's life. We need to realize we need to yield our whole person to the Lord Jesus Christ. To say, Lord, here's my life. Use it for Thy glory. Hey, teenager, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ wants your whole life. He don't want you to wait till you're gray-headed before you give your life to Him. He wants it now. He wants it now. Go look at Ecclesiastes and what Solomon said. Solomon talked about there in Ecclesiastes how that the whole duty of man was to fear God and keep His commandments, and he wanted him to do it while they were young. Listen, if you're young tonight, yield your whole self to Christ now. Don't wait till later. Not only did he want them to yield himself to Christ or present their bodies, but he noticed he says a living sacrifice. There are many today who say, I will die for Christ, but few who will say, I will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand tonight, Christ died for us so that we could live for Him. I don't have to die for my God. He's already died for me so that I might live my life for Him. The believer is to be alive. That's why we're born again. The Bible tells us we were, past tense, dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says, you hath He quickened. That means made alive. The believer tonight is to be an alive person, a living sacrifice. He goes on in that verse to say, holy, acceptable. That means clean, pure, right, set apart, different. Christ wants people to live holy. He wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to hate sin. He wants us to keep sin out of our lives. He wants us to remove sin. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, keep a short list with God. You know what that fellow was? He was wrong. Don't keep a list at all. When you sin, get rid of it right away. Get that thing out of there and clean your life up. Live holy before God. And then he goes on to say tonight, he says, which is your reasonable service. I say tonight, God is not a hard taskmaster. He never wants from the believer what is reasonable, and He never wants from the believer what we cannot give. If God is asking you to give in some manner or in some way your life, He knows that within you, you have the power and you have the ability to fulfill it. He knows our potential when we don't even realize our own potential. He knows what we're capable of when we don't know what we're capable of. And if God is calling you or challenging you or pulling you to do something, give in to that, because you may not realize it, but within you lies the ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the living God tonight. Paul was begging them to live for Christ, to serve Christ. Now notice verse number 2. There are three words I'd like to quickly point out here and then get into the message tonight. He says, first of all, that he said here, he says, and be not conformed. The word conformed means made to resemble, made agreeable, fit, guided by, grown, used to. The Bible says to be not conformed. Paul did not want these believers to conform to the world. Not only that, but he did not want these believers to conform to the system of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you realize it tonight or not, the world has a system. And it is at work. And that system is leading to something called the Antichrist, who will one day rise to power and rule this world. We as believers are not to conform to the system of the Antichrist tonight. Not only that, as he tells them there, but we are not to conform to sin, and we are not to conform to the pleasures of this world. The believer is to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and not to the image of the world. We are to resemble the Savior. Notice secondly tonight, not only are we not conformed, but the Bible says here, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That means changed in form. It means a change of heart in a man and his disposition and temper, and when they are conformed to divine image. In other words, we are to be made like Christ. Paul wanted these believers to understand that the day they trusted Christ as Savior, a transformation happened. Something changed in their life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christ is in the transforming business. I think about the day that I got saved. I got saved on Wednesday night. Wednesday morning, I had masonry class. I was laying a brick wall. The brick wall was crooked. So you know what I did? I kicked it and I cussed it. That's how I fixed it. Never worked, but I tried it out that way. But I got saved Wednesday night. Thursday morning, I had masonry class. Still laying that crooked wall. You know what I did? I kicked it and cussed it. But you know what happened on Thursday? Something inside of me said, you can't do that no more. Why? There was a transformation that happened on Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit moved in and said, you can no longer act that way. What I'm saying tonight is we cannot carry on the same old way that we used to carry on when we become born again. Notice the third word tonight. He goes on to say, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing means reestablishing. It means repeating. It means renovating, making new again. Paul was saying daily we must not conform to the image of the world, but daily we must yield to Christ by renewing our commitment to live for the Lord Jesus. Understand quickly tonight, this is not talking about getting saved again. You only got to get saved one time. But what it is talking about is daily committing to say, God, Lord Jesus, I'm going to live for you today. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do today. Notice tonight, he is telling him this matter. Notice if we are transformed in our daily lives, what happens? We prove God's perfect will for our lives. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be in God's will. In order for me to be in God's will on a daily basis, I have to get up and I have to yield my whole self daily to the Lord. I guarantee you tonight, if you were to ask your pastor would say for him to be in God's perfect will on a daily basis, he has to renew that commitment to live for God. Everyone in this room that's born again, from the teenager to the old person to the middle-aged person, in order for you to be in God's perfect will, you must daily get up and renew your commitment to serve the Lord. To say it's a new day, but I'm going to still live for the Lord. Notice if we are transformed, as I already said, it makes our lives, we are doing God's perfect will. As we have said tonight, when a person accepts Christ as Savior, they can no longer begin to be the same, but a transformation happens. I think about how the drunk puts down the bottle and picks up a Bible. The drug addict puts down the needle and becomes a faithful church member. The church member who was lost and gets saved all of a sudden enjoys church. You ever seen that happen? I've seen that happen before. I think about the liar stops lying, the foul-mouthed man's speech becomes filled with the praises to God. I think about how that others do things where they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. As believers, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must be transformed. We must be made changed. We must be made different. But I'll say this tonight. Today we live in a time where there are too many conformers. Christians have developed an attitude that it's okay to be like the world. That it's okay to act like the world. That it's okay to follow after the things of the world. Churches today have become conformers instead of transformers. The pastor was saying, even up in the office tonight, he even asked me about the King James Bible, and he said 25 years ago he didn't have to worry about that. Why is that? It's because instead of being transformers and sticking to the King James, people have become conformers and run out and got something that's incomplete and watered down. I say this tonight, churches have become conformers. Their Bibles have conformed. Their music has conformed. Their preachers have conformed. Their outreach has conformed. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, soul winning still works the same way it did 30 years ago. Believe me, we go into prisons and we go clank, 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 and we win people to the Lord the same way they always did. I say tonight, we need to realize that today Christians have traded the standard of the Bible for the standard of the world. Today, Christians and churches are weak. We have no power because we've conformed and not transformed. Tonight, I'd like to point out quickly five things that we needed transformation in today. And hopefully it'll help you tonight as believers. Five things tonight that we need a transformation in. First of all, tonight I say this. We need a transformation in our determination. We need a transformation in our determination. Today, many believers have little or no determination at all. If you will, they are wimps when it comes to the Christian life. I say tonight that many Christians today, they don't realize that we are in a conflict. We are in a battle. We are in a warfare, ladies and gentlemen. This matter of the Christian life is not for the faint at heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Notice the word steadfast, constant, firm, resolute, never fickle or wavering. So many times we waver and are fickle concerning the things of God. We need to be steadfast. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Let me ask you something. If the battle was to come today and there was problems coming to your life today, would you be able to say, I've done all I could to stand? Or would you waver quickly? I say tonight, it took some determination for David to face Goliath. It took some determination for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to face that Nebuchadnezzar. It took some determination for Daniel to face those lion's den. Listen, I say tonight, we need some fathers to have some determination about their families. So many times as fathers, we just say, well, I'll just leave and go somewhere else and let it work out. Hey, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to solve your marriage problems or your problems with your children. No, you need to get a godly determination out about it yourself and get a godly determination about it and say, I'm going to do my best to figure out what this problem is with the Lord's help and overcome it. I say tonight we need some fathers to get some determination about their families, about their marriage, about their children. I say tonight we need some church members to get some determination about their service. Serving God's not easy. Serving God's not always fun. Listen, you may be sitting here tonight, say, I don't enjoy soul winning anymore. That does not mean that you're to quit soul winning. You may say, I don't want to teach Sunday school. It's not as fun as it used to be. That does not give you a reason to step away from Sunday school. If God's called you to do it, get a determination about it. Dig in, press on, and serve the Lord. Listen to me. There are days that I get up and I don't want to pick that phone up and call 100 pastors and get hung up on 75 times with no meetings. There are days that I don't want to leave my wife and children and go visit with those men behind bars. But listen to me. God has called me to do that, and He's equipped me with a determination to serve Him, and I'm going forth and I'm going to do it. We need to get some determination about us today. Christians need to have some determination to allow themselves to be transformed concerning their daily walk. Say, I don't want to go out there and live like a Christian today. Listen, get determined to do so. God will bless you for it. I see, secondly, quickly tonight, another thing we need a transformation about, not only our determination, but about our sobriety. The word sober means not mad or insane, not under the influence, serious or solemn. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, there's an enemy out there that will love more than anything to destroy your life and my life. The Bible tells us in Psalms 4 and verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Come in with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. We have today too many churches playing patty cake with sin and the world. We have developed a flip-flop religion. We no longer mourn over sin. We no longer mourn over souls, and we no longer mourn over the sorrows of this world. You begin to think about that today. When's the last time you just cried over the sins that you committed this week? When God so broke your heart and said, man, I didn't realize I was that wicked. And you mourned over those sins. Then you think about this matter of mourning over souls. When's the last time we cried over a soul? Prayed and begged God all night to save our kids or save our friend or save whoever. Listen, when we begin to pray and we begin to cry, God hears those prayers. Then I think about we no longer mourn over the sorrow of the world. I don't know whether this is because of television, because of Hollywood, or whatever it may be tonight. But listen to me. We have become so numb to the sorrows that are in this world that it no longer affects our heart. We just say, well, there's another tragedy. Somebody else lost their life. There's somebody else's home destroyed. Listen, as believers, we ought to mourn over those type of things. Somebody's hurting tonight. Listen, we need a sobriety concerning the Bible. We need a sobriety concerning prayer. We need a sobriety concerning lost people. We need a sobriety concerning the men that God has called to preach. Listen, this is a pastor standing here, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a missionary here. I'm saying it because I believe it. If God's called a man to be your pastor, there ought to be a respect and a reverence that comes along with it. God's called him. God's put him as shepherd here. Don't fight him. Get in there and fight with him tonight. I see also this matter of godly people are no longer respected. We need a sobriety and honor over those who are living godly tonight. I think about we need a transformation in our sobriety. Then thirdly tonight, we need a transformation in our sacrifice. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, to present our bodies sacrifice. Today we sacrifice, but often for not the right things. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. It's a life of giving of ourselves. It's a life of giving of our time. It's a life of giving our talent, our money, whatever it may be. The Christian life is a life of sacrifice. Today, however, we have the time to spend on ball, on projects, on stuff, money on charities and other foolish things. And when it comes time to give to the things of God, we no longer have sacrifice to give. We got it backwards, ladies and gentlemen. There are no balance in our lives. We need a transformation in our sacrifice. Abraham had a transformation in his sacrifice when he was willing to lay down Isaac. He said, you know what? God transformed my heart. God made me some promises. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to give God what God requires. I think about tonight, he was called out of the world. He was led to a place. God gave him the son, and God, he knew that God could deliver that son. We need the Lord to transform our sacrifice. We need the Lord to transform what time we give to Him, how our giving is, how our time it is, and what we spend our time and money and projects on. Whatever God is asking for us, we ought to be willing to give it tonight. Then I see fourthly tonight, we need a transformation in our separation. Paul says to be not conformed to this world. We are to be different. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the fellowship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." I don't know about you tonight, but I don't want to be the enemy of God. The Bible says there, if we're friends with the world, we're enemies of God. We cannot serve God and man. Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." We need to be set apart. We are called pilgrims. We are called strangers in this world. The world wants to blur the lines between what is right and what is wrong. We as believers ought to take this book and make the lines clear. We need a determination, or we need a transformation in our separation tonight. The believer is to look different. The believer is to talk different. The believer is to act different. The believer is to suffer different. The believer is to love different. The believer is to work different. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Too many Christians go to work and they're the sorriest person on the job. That ought not be so. That ought not be so. The believer ought to be the most hardest working person there. The believer ought to be the one that's on time. The believer ought to be the one that's willing to go the extra mile. So sad today, that's usually not the case. I say tonight, as I've already said, the believer is to suffer different. I've been in the room where there have been somebody suffering that's lost, and I've been in the room where there's been somebody suffering that's saved. And there's a distinct difference in their suffering. Listen, I don't know what you may go through in this life. I don't know what I may go through in my life. But I do understand this, with the Lord's help, He will help us suffer differently from what those in the world suffer from. And then I say lastly tonight and quickly, the transformation has to be supernatural. To do these things, we must not do them in the flesh, because flesh will fail every time. We must yield to the Holy Spirit, so that He can work in our lives, so that He can help us perform the things that God has called us to do. We do not need a purpose-driven life, but we need a Spirit-filled life. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." You know, we can give God excuse all day long as to why we can't. We can look God in the eye all day long and say, "God, I can't give that. God, I can't go there. God, I can't do this. God, I can't." Notice Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know what that does? God takes our excuses and puts them in a skeet thrower. And He shoots them out there, and He takes a 12-gauge shotgun that's got Philippians 4:13 in it and blasts it completely out of the sky. Every excuse we give to God, He can throw Philippians 4:13 right back at us. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Notice we are to yield to the Holy Spirit. We are to walk through the Holy Spirit. If you think about it tonight, you need to realize there have been men who have yielded to the Holy Spirit. And what have they done? Well, there's been men that's faced lions. There have been men that's faced fires. There have been men that have overcome devils. There are men that have defeated tyrants. There have been men that never felt alone. There have been men that have survived shipwreck and come through sickness. All because they were willing to trust the Lord. All because they were willing to allow their lives to be transformed. It is through Christ that we take the next step. It is through Christ that we fight the next battle. So in closing tonight, every believer needs to live a transformed life. But it has to be supernatural. You say, how do you experience a supernatural transformation? Well, first of all, tonight, if you're here lost and you ain't understood most of what I said, but the Holy Spirit showed you you're lost tonight, you can experience that supernatural transformation by coming and trusting Christ as your Savior. And you'll have what I call the aha moment, where you realize you're a sinner. You realize sin has to be paid for. You'll realize Jesus has already paid for those sins. And you'll realize all I have to do is trust Christ as my Savior and ask Him to come in my heart and change my life. You're talking about the lights coming on in somebody's mind. Man, the night you get saved, somebody turned the switch on. 220, not 110. Then I think tonight, those of us that are believers, we can live a transformed life, and it can be done supernaturally by yielding ourselves, our whole selves, to the Holy Spirit, by truly surrendering to the will of God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Pastor, if you'll come tonight.